You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What's up and welcome into the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Rocking with your boy, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, for the next hour. And that is correct. We are past the Super Bowl. Many fantasy baseball drafts have started, and I said that you are listening to the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Catch us every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. With replays playing throughout the weekend, we may be past the 2016 fantasy football season, but fantasy football is a 365 hobby, and I'm already ready to start getting you ready for the 2017 season. We'll go on this journey together, talking about the latest things that take place in the NFL and how they can help you shape your rosters for 2017. Got plenty of time to go before we get to August and really get hot and heavy in the fantasy football drafting, but there are things on the docket already, all things taking place already that we could talk about. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing that on the program today. I want to touch on some of the coaching changes in the NFL and how that affects fantasy football. Not to mention the fact we already have some hardcore data, hardcore draft data. Now, normally I wouldn't sit here in February and talk to you about the fantasy football draft, but the NFFC Trendsetters Draft, we have 14 of the best fantasy football experts, player experts, not the guys on RotoWire or Roto Experts or things like that. Guys that put up big money in the NFFC, the FFPC, and the FFWC. Guys that play on the championship circuit started a draft, a slow draft, right after the Super Bowl kicked off. We're about four rounds into that draft. Now, the format of this is, it's a 14-team PPR, 6 points for the quarterback touchdown. They draft 6 rounds a month. This league will play out in a best ball fashion. The creator of this league, Wayne Ellis, one of the top fantasy football players in the country, he'll be stopping by in about 10 minutes or so. We'll take a look at his team, look at his strategy, and talk about why he put this league together and how this league came about. And it's some interesting things in this draft, so I want to ask him about the format and why things are playing out the way they do. He's going to join us on the program, not to mention the fact somebody that I think is one of the best fantasy football players. Her name is Kimra Slicer. Now, one thing about Kimra, she's been a beast for years. One of the best fantasy football players I've ever met. She does a great job each and every year. She's one of the top earners. She's been in the fantasy football documentary. But she's never won the big one. She's never taken down the big one, overall championship. Well, this year, her team in the FFWC, Le'Veon in the player, won the overall championship. She is the first female to win overall championship. So Kimmer will be joining us to talk about her historic win, look at her draft, see how she put it together, and we'll also talk about some of the things that she looks forward to in the upcoming 2017 season. But first, I want to start right here. I'm about to get into the first round of the Trendsetters Draft in a little bit. But there's some key dates coming up in the NFL that fantasy owners need to pay attention to if they're serious about fantasy football. And we start right off a little bit, a couple weeks from now, the NFL Combine coming up on February 28th. It starts. It goes all the way through March 6th. This is where we get a pretty good look at some of the players coming into the NFL next season. Now, this full with offensive linemen and defensive linemen and linebackers and stuff like that. But as a fantasy owner, you want to concentrate on the quarterbacks, the running backs, the tight ends, and the wide receivers. You want to see their skill set. You want to see how they go through the combine. Is there any red flags as far as off the field things? Any red flags as far as, you know, the testing and things like that? So we want to make sure that we pay close attention to the NFL Combine coming up at the end of this month. Then we'll get into March 9th is a big day when free agency starts in the NFL. Got some big names. It's going to be unrestricted free agent, including Le'Veon Bell. Doubt the Steelers franchise tag him. He may very well be a guy that they lock up to a long-term deal. Don't see him letting him get away. Eddie Lacy is unrestricted free agent. Major fantasy football disappointment for the past two seasons. More than likely, he's going to have a new home. Also, guys like Latavius Murray will also be an unrestricted free agent. Going to end up interesting to see where he ends up in 2017. But he'll take his talents too because he's another player that fantasy owners are going to be keeping an eye on. So that's March 9th when NFL free agency kicks off and begins. That's a little over a month from now. And then late April, we have the 2017 NFL Draft coming from the city of Brotherly Love in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this year. That's when we can really get a good look at what NFL rosters look like and how you should start shaping your fantasy rosters. So even though the players don't get back on the field till after Labor Day, there's still plenty of NFL, there's still plenty of fantasy football to talk about, and we're going to do that weekly right here on the network. Each and every Thursday, the program debuts with replays throughout the weekend. So speaking earlier about the NFFC Trendsetters Draft, and Wayne Us, who is the creator of this league, will be joining us in a few moments to talk about his team and some of the things that he's seen so far in this draft. But I want to go off and start right here, giving you some of my opinions, some of my thoughts on how this draft started. Now, one thing about fantasy football, we notice a lot of trends from year to year. Things shape and things change. This was a year where the running back position rebounded. We saw guys put up nice numbers from the running back position. Matter of fact, the team in your league probably had two strong backs that they probably got at a discount on draft day, or the backs performed above expectations this year. Guys like Melvin Gordon, guys like LeSean McCoy, guys like DeMarco Murray. So, of course, you take that into an early draft in 2017, and right off the top in this draft, we see the running backs shift right to the top of the draft board like it used to be 4 or 5 years ago. The draft starts with a trio of running backs. I call them the holy trinity of running backs going into 2017 season. We get David Johnson going off the board at 1-1. Dynamic offensive player for the Arizona Cardinals. Have no issues with that. If I'm in the PPR league, I think I may go Le'Veon Bell one day. I may go David Johnson the next day. At 1-2, Le'Veon Bell goes off the board. Most dynamic running back in the NFL, if you ask me. His running of the football, his ability to catch the football out of the backfield, attached to that big-time offense in Pittsburgh. But as, of course, you know, the offseason for Le'Veon Bell is just as important as the regular season is for him, because he has a marijuana problem. We need Le'Veon Bell to have a clean offseason. No drug suspensions, no marijuana suspensions, because he could possibly be looking at a year if he looks at another drug suspension. So we need Le'Veon Bell to have a good, clean offseason, not fail any drug tests. That's what's important for him. And then the third pick off the board was Dallas Cowboy rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott. He'll be coming back for his second season. Monitor the domestic violence case. Listen, we don't really think it's much behind it. Think more when it came out already, but it is a situation to monitor. These are the top three players going off the boards in early draft right now. I kind of think that this is the way that fantasy owners predicted it would happen when we came to the end of the 2016 season. These are the guys that control offenses. The only difference I'll tell you right now is in a standard league, Ezekiel Elliott goes number one, and then you have your man. Then you can go either David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell. But in PPR leagues, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, I have no problem with that. Then with the fourth and the fifth pick, once again, stick right to the script. We still know Antonio Brown is going to continue to be one of the top offenses. One of the top playmakers in the NFL. The great Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver is going to get upwards of 130, maybe even 140 targets throughout the course of the season. As long as Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, Antonio Brown will continue to put up big fantasy numbers. I don't think they're going to move him. There is some rumors that they may trade him because of some of the things that happened later on in the season. Antonio Brown is building a brand. There is no brand in the NFL bigger than the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I still do think an extension is probably likely for Antonio Brown as they wrap him up. Those are the two big playmakers on that big offense. And then, of course, with the fifth pick in this draft was New York Giant wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham, the focal point of that offense. Eli Manning's number one target, the best player on that team. Now they come back for a third season in the same offensive system. Odell Beckham, anywhere from 5-1, I have no problem with. Then with 6 and 7, we get two interesting picks. And these are the two picks that I think are going to end up changing. And I'm going to get into them a little bit later on also. But I want to start with the guy that went 6. And that was Green Bay Packer wide receiver Jordy Nelson. Now, I know wide receivers can play, you know, well into their 30s and still put up top numbers. But we've seen Jordy be banged up with injuries from time to time throughout the course of his career. Not to mention the fact he's getting a little bit older. I still like Jordy as a first-round guy. I just don't know if I like him at 1-6 overall. So I will put Jordy down the board a little bit more. At 7 was Julio Jones. This is important. I want Julio Jones in 2017 as a wide receiver too. You may say, well, executive, you're never going to get him. Well, I could pay for him in an auction too if he's not overvalued, because I do fantasy football auctions. But the interesting thing with Julio Jones is, number one, we just saw it on Super Bowl Sunday. Julio Jones can be taken out of games. Matt Ryan spreads the football around, doesn't focus on one guy. That is a deterrence for Julio Jones' fantasy asset. Even though he's great, don't get me wrong, probably pound for pound the best player in the NFL. But when it comes to fantasy, I want Julio as a wide receiver too. Not to mention the fact they're going to a new offensive system this year. Touch on that a little bit later on in the program and how I think that's going to affect Julio Jones in 2017. The next two wide receivers to go off the board are Mike Evans and A.J. Green. They go off the board at 8 and 9. I like Evans at 6. I like Green at 7. Then I'll start to look at the Jordys and the Julios. Evans coming off a phenomenal season. He needs to secure more of his targets. But in that offense that remains the same going into next year, you get another year of experience for young Mr. Jameis Winston as the quarterback of that team. Not to mention the fact Mike Evans continues to grow. Those two BFFs, they're bosom buddies. He is going to be the top target. He's going to be another guy next year that probably leads the NFL in targets again. Mike Evans, a great playmaker. I think he's definitely a first-round draft pick in 2017. Without a shadow of a doubt, Mike Evans will continue to get it done. A.J. Green, another big-time wide receiver in the offense that mainly belongs to him. A.J. Green will continue to put up numbers. I really don't think health is a concern with Green, even though we saw him get banged up down the stretch this year. But for the most part, what A.J. Green does for you week to week when he's on the field makes him a top fantasy option. Then we get another trio of running back. All of these guys, in my opinion, have different things that come along with them that make them kind of risky on draft day. I want to talk about these guys right now, and I'll get into these situations a little bit later on. Let's start with Buffalo Bill running back LeSean McCoy. Goes off in this draft as the 10th overall pick. Not going to happen on my team. Once again, I want to secure LeSean McCoy if he's on my team as a RB2. Getting a little bit older, we've seen injuries be an issue from time to time. But I think the biggest thing this year for LeSean McCoy is a change in coaching, number one. And number two, the quarterback situation is up in the air right now. A lot of McCoy's success came from Anthony Lynn and Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's mobile ability was opening up holes for LeSean McCoy. That's why we see LeSean McCoy almost have a throwback style season to when he was in Philadelphia. I don't like Shady as an RB1. More than likely, he's not going to be on any of my teams come up the season he had last year. Unless the ADP switch and the word gets out there that Shady's number should go down, I want LeSean McCoy as an RB2 in 2017, and it likely won't happen. The 11th pick to go off the board in this draft was San Diego Charger running back Melvin Gordon. We know about the yards per carry. He was mainly touchdown dependent. That's a very scary prospect right now when a player is touchdown dependent. Normally, those numbers tend to regress. But I will say this. I still do like Melvin Gordon as a number one fantasy draft pick, a first round pick in 2017. But he is the guy that's more than likely the player that's going to bust as a first round draft pick. So be very careful when you're drafting Melvin Gordon. I'm going to have exposure to him in 2017. I didn't have none in 2016, but I do think that he's a guy that could be on the verge of a bust. Number 12 pick in this draft is Titans running back DeMarco Murray. He already has a young gun in the backfield. We've seen consecutive seasons of Murray staying healthy, of course. That was a big thing in his career. Once again, a player I like as an RB2. I'm not paying 112 for DeMarco Murray. Not a running back at that age, not to mention the fact he's got a young dog behind him that's ready to rock and roll in Derrick Henry. So no Murray for me. Number 13 is a guy I like more than all of these running backs. A guy I talked about right here on this network is a guy I'm going to be talking in the first round of fantasy drafts. That is Indianapolis Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. I wasn't a Hilton fan for a while, but now I am all in on T.Y. Hilton in 2017. The ability to play each and every single week in an offense he's familiar with a quarterback he's familiar with, he can almost be unstoppable at times. He has a big target share. Yeah, we'll get a healthy Dante Moncrief next season, but T.Y. Hilton is the man. T.Y. Hilton is my guy in 2017. If you're in a draft with me, it's a good chance you're not going to get Hilton. I am all in on Hilton in 2017. I was all in on Mike Evans this year. I've been all in on Antonio Brown in the past. Take my word for it when I tell you you want a piece of T.Y. Hilton in 2017. And then, of course, at 114, another guy I like, and I'm going to tell you why I like him a little bit later on in the program, but that's Atlanta Falcon running back Devonta Freeman. I tell you what, on Super Bowl Sunday, if it was anybody that deserved to walk out of that Atlanta Falcon locker room with a Super Bowl trophy, it was Devonta Freeman. And next year, things should be even better. Excuse me, next season, things should be even better for Freeman. And I'll explain that a little while later on, why I am all in on Devonta Freeman. So basically, the way this first round shook out, I would put Hilton and Freeman and move them up above McCoy, Gordon, and Murray, not to mention the fact I don't like Jordy and Julio in the middle of that first round. So T.Y. Hilton is a top 10 pick for me in 2014, not to mention I like Devonta Freeman as a top 10 pick also. That is the first round of the NFFC, National Fantasy Football Championship Trendsetters Draft. The mind behind the draft, the guy to get this whole thing started, joins us next on the program, Wayne Ellis, as we continue talking fantasy football right here on The Frenzy on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fantasy football season never ends right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Frenzy debut edition. Catch us here each and every Thursday. Talking fantasy football with you all season long. There is no fantasy offseason, especially when the Fantasy Executive is involved. If you don't have the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, do yourself a favor. Go and download it. The Google Play, the iTunes, the App Store. Get involved, win championships, and be the best fantasy football player there is. I consider myself the best fantasy football player in the country, but I think I got a guy on the line that can challenge me on that assertion. The mind, behind the NFFC Trendsetters Draft. At least that's what the rest of the league tells me. His name is Wayne Ellis. Wayne, if I'm not mistaken, you go by Colts fan, correct?
I do. How you doing, Corey?
Hey, I'm doing well, my man. You know what? I'm glad to see this data, first and foremost, but I'm a little bit upset because I was checking my email for my invite because you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm sure that I'm going to be in Trendsetters this year, but I guess it went to my spam folder.
We don't want any sharks in this league. We had to kick you out. Sorry, man.
Oh, man. Good times, Wayne. So I'm sitting up here. I got this fresh data from 2017 sitting in front of me. Before we get into some of the picks and look at your team and some of the things going on in this draft, basically, I told the listeners, the audience, this is a slow draft, 30 rounds, PPR, starts right after the Super Bowl. But apparently, this draft is not done all in one night. You guys kind of break up the rounds. Tell me about that.
We do. We do about 7 rounds every 3 weeks up until the NFL rookie draft. And then we actually have a separate rookie draft where we make all the rookie picks. So, for example, like right now, if you know, Glenn Lowry is picking at 4.1, and he decided he wanted to take the first rookie pick in the rookie draft. So he made rookie 1. So when the NFL draft happens, whoever makes a rookie pick before that gets to pick the rookie. So he'll get his first choice of all the rookies. So you're not drafting names. You're just drafting a position in the rookie draft. So every 3 weeks, we'll draft like 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. And then after the rookie draft is over in May, we'll come back and finish this draft up, the last 5 rounds of it. So it actually happens in like 4 or 5 different segments.
Interesting, because I think that's a way to keep everybody up to date with the latest news and stuff like that. So I think that's a good idea right there. And this is the first time I've kind of heard of this. So shout outs to you for putting it together this way. Now, let me ask you something about the roster construction, because what I'm noticing, we're through 4 rounds of this. We're halfway through 4 rounds of this draft, right? We're in the middle of the fourth.
Yeah.
We're in the first quarter of the fourth round. And it's 6 quarterbacks off the board. Wayne, I understand the NFFC, you get the extra point. I understand best ball, teams do take quarterbacks earlier. Is this a 2 quarterback league with all these quarterbacks going off the board this early?
No, it is a 1 quarterback league, but It's a little bit different because it is a 14-team league and there's a shortage of positions. So when you're talking about how many starting quarterbacks are there, you know, there's only, what would you say, about 25, 26 that we know pretty sure are going to be starting quarterbacks. Everybody needs to in best ball. So basically all you do, if you take two quarterbacks early, it just forces everybody else to take two quarterbacks. So the idea is you can get two good quarterbacks, force everybody else to double up later on with two quarterbacks who are lesser quarterbacks, and you have the exact same players that come back to you. So it's just trying to apply pressure to the rest of the draft. So it's a whole lot different than drafting a normal, just regular start your own lineup draft.
Now, you know, Wade, I find it interesting because I was saying on one of the programs earlier this week that one of the things that I might actually really legit consider doing, not right now because I haven't gotten to a draft yet, but I will do so shortly. I got to do the baseball thing, and it's mandatory. But I was telling people that when I get in drafts, and especially in fab leagues where not best ball style, but fab leagues, I may leave the draft table without a quarterback altogether. That's how serious I am about wait on your quarterback. You look at this year, Dak Prescott comes right to mind.
Yep, absolutely.
Where are you at with drafting quarterbacks? You for the most part, in a fab league, you are a later quarterback drafter, correct?
For the most part, I wouldn't take one before the 7th round, and really 12th or 13th round would be even better. It just if I get a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the 7th round, I'm probably looking pretty hard at him then. But if not, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th round, they all look just alike. You know what I mean? So why reach for one?
No doubt, agree with you 100% on that one. So, but I do think there might be some hidden gems on the board that I'm already starting to see when it comes to the quarterback position. I know one of the guys that I'm not going to be on in 2017 because I think you're paying a 2016 price is the guy that's on your team. Listen, I had a nice big takedown over in the FFWC this year. I scooped up Matt Ryan, the last pick of my draft. In round 20, I took Matt Ryan. In this draft, you took Matt Ryan in the 3rd round of this best ball draft. I kind of like quarterbacks or offenses or situations where we see the same system year after year after year. Kyle Shanahan, obviously, the quarterback in San Francisco now. So that has me a little bit down on Matt Ryan, but I think you think differently.
I'm not in love with that pick, honestly. I mean, the whole time I was taking Andrew Luck there, and it was for sure my pick. I was going to take Andrew Luck. I mean, there was no doubt I was taking Andrew Luck. And then boom, 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 the quarterbacks come right off the board right in front of me. And I'm sitting there like, now what do I do? I'm in a whole different tier of quarterbacks, you know? And I don't think Matt Ryan repeats what he did last year, but he is a pretty consistent 4,500 to 5,000-yard-a-year passer. And I don't think he regresses back down to 21 touchdowns like he had in 2015. So even at 30, 32 touchdowns, you know, he's still an okay value there. But, you know, if this was a regular league, there's no way I'd take Matt Ryan this early. I would absolutely wait for someone else later on. But just knowing in this league that the quarterback run is happening, I had to take a quarterback there. And I went ahead and took the fairly safe play for the points with Matt Ryan. So that's why I took him.
Let me ask you this, Wayne. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been running this?
I think it's our 9th year doing this draft.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So you got a good crew right here. I'm looking at some of the names, some of the top names. Guys like yourself, our buddy Glenn Lowy, my man Billy Waz, Andy Saxton, Jules is in this league, Matt Bailey, Sean Gundy, Mike Santos. It's a lot of money on this draft board right now, Wayne.
There is, absolutely.
A lot of prize winners on this draft board. Let's get back up to the top of the draft. I think we have a holy trinity of running backs at the top going into 2017, especially in PPR leagues. I think we see the majority of drafts start with David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. In the standard, which I might play in one a year, I think Zeke is the guy to own. In the PPR, I do think Johnson, Bell, Elliott. Now, listen, with Bell and Johnson, pick a name out of a hat, I want to see Le'Veon Bell have a clean marijuana free off season. Now, does that mean I'm telling? I have no heaven or hell to put Le'Veon Bell in. I'm not here to judge Mr. Bell, but listen, bro, you know you got to pass these drug tests. You know what I'm saying? So we make sure we get a full season out of you. Do you think that this is the consensus top three?
It is absolutely the consensus top three. It's going to be scripted like this all year long for PPR.
I agree with you for PPR. I think that is the way to go. I think that these three big backs at the top. I don't know. You know what? I think fantasy is such a trendy thing where at one point we saw everybody get ready to go up, you know, to get these big wide receivers. 2016, I mean, you saw 12-team league drafts where out of the first 24 picks, 16 were wide receivers. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to see the running back come up the board, and I think that's going to be the way it goes in 2017 as people tend to copy each other or take trends from what happened in last season.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Last year, didn't you see a lot of people just do four straight wide receivers to start drafts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that didn't play out so well last year. So, it's not so much about the position as it is getting the right players. And last year, a lot of people made it about the position. So I think that hurt some players, you know, playing some of these high-stakes leagues because they were too focused in on just taking the wide receivers where they didn't even really consider the running backs at all.
Yeah, I know guys that did that out there in Vegas, and those teams, they looked good on paper. They didn't end up so good. Me, myself, this year, I'm not a zero RB guy. I'm a bell cow guy. Give me a bell cow. Give me a guy that I know
absolutely.
I can put out there. A young running back that's going to catch the football, that's going to be the lead dog in that offense, that's going to not be taken out next to the goal line. Give me one of those guys, and I can find an RB2.
That's right. I agree completely. You only need one, really, to win the league.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you 100% on that. Now, you had the second pick in this draft. You started off with Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, nothing much to say about Le'Veon Bell besides he needs to have a clean, marijuana-free offseason or at least not get caught. Let's put it that way. But your second pick.
That's his only risk.
Yeah, there you go. No, honestly speaking, it really is. But unless Vontaze Burfict get a hold of him at some point. But hopefully that doesn't happen for Mr. Bell. Your second pick is the intriguing one. You take him at the second round with the 14th pick. I know my buddy Greg Sussman would be interested in this. At 214, you took, I'm telling you, if the guy can stay on the field, he's going to have a monster season. That's Los Angeles Charger wide receiver Keenan Allen.
That's right. That's right.
Allen's a player go ahead.
I love Keenan Allen this year. Absolutely love him. And I know there's risk with the injury, but that's okay. I'll take that risk. But, you know, remember back in 2015, the guy had like 89 targets the first 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he had 67 catches in 8 weeks. I mean, it was insane what he was putting up. So I want a guy here that's a difference maker. And, you know, a lot of the good wide receivers are already off the board. So I had a choice between really Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins, or Jarvis Landry. And I felt like that Keenan Allen has the best quarterback and he's the most upside in that position. So I took him, you know, and you know, if he gets hurt again this year, that's okay. You know what I mean? But I am going to play to win. So, and I think he's the play to win pick.
No doubt. Agree with you 100% on that one. Let's remember in that first quarter before he tore up his knee, 6 receptions for 63 yards. That's the kind of target. That's the kind of dominant playmaker Keenan Allen can be. And when one of these seasons, he's going to put it all together and he's going to have a top 5 fantasy season. Agree with you 100% on that one, Wayne. The pick after Keenan Allen at 215, our buddy Glenn took Sammy Watkins. And I tell you what, I can't. I don't want to sit up here and say, I'm done. I'm off. I can't do it no more with Watkins. But I know I'm like a scorned lover. He's going to send me a text like, I'm sorry. And I'm going to be like, but you do this to me all the time. And he's like, well, no, I'm not going to do it again. And he's going to end up on my team. Sammy Watkins goes at 215. You think that's where the value is going to be for him this year?
I think about that. That's about where he's going to go. I mean, he'll be a third rounder in 12-team drafts. And, I mean, the biggest difference, I mean, there's no question his talent, but he just doesn't have a quarterback around him. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be this year. So,
yeah.
To me, he's a hard pick to take that early, at least with Keenan Allen, who has an injury history. At least we know Phillip Rivers is his quarterback. We know the system. You know, it's a place where he can be very successful. We know that for sure. And you look at the failures last year at wide receiver. You had DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson, just huge busts. Right.
Yep.
The
tremendous
thing they had in common was the quarterback play. Right. I mean, it was horrendous. And so you want to take somebody you know is going to have the good quarterback play, and that's why I took Keenan Allen over Sammy Watkins.
I agree with you 100% on that one. Speaking of those gentlemen that you just mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins goes off the board round two, pick five. So for the most part, he takes a bump. Last year, he was a top five guy. This year, looks like he could be that first five of the second round coming back on that turn for D-Hop. And then we get the disappointment of Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles. He goes at 213, and it kind of looks like you agree with that value for those players that were bust in the 2016 season.
Yeah, I probably would not have taken either of them quite that early, mm-hmm. but I can't argue with them being good picks there. I mean, they're definitely second-round picks.
Yeah, I think they go in the second round, maybe in a 12-team league on that turn. I think both gentlemen could be in line for bounce-back seasons. One last play I want to ask you about before I let you get back and get rocking and rolling. Kirk Cousins, do you think he is a member of the D.C. football team when we kick off 2017? Apparently, San Francisco may be in on him, not to mention the fact that Cleveland Browns may also be in on him.
I think 100% he's a Redskin, so no, I don't think there's any risk of him moving on at all.
I agree with you. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. They have to pay him. I just don't know, Wayne. You're paying a quarterback that had three chances to get his team into the playoffs, all against non-playoff teams. Two of those games at home, and he couldn't win one of them.
Yeah, no questioning that. But, I mean, you also got a guy here that, you know, he put up almost 5,000 yards passing last year. And how many of those guys are out there? I mean, they're not going to let him get out of town. There's no way.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're in a tough spot with Cousins right now. But you have to understand, this is a quarterback league, and Kirk Cousins is the best thing they got going as opposed to starting all over. That could be a risky proposition. Wayne, I'm going to continue to follow the draft. Thanks a lot for sharing the info with me.
All right.
Thanks a lot, my man. Good looking out. And we'll be talking to you throughout the course of the offseason.
Thanks, Corey. See ya.
No doubt. That was one of the top fantasy footballers in the country, my man Wayne Ellis, the mind behind the NFFC Trendsetters Draft. When we come back on the other side, I get to talk to one of my buddies. Got a special guest joining us. She is the reigning fantasy football world champion. She rejoins us on The Frenzy right after this. Up and at 'em. Fantasy Football Frenzy, the debut Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Not only you rocking with me, make sure you rock with us all day long, beginning at 7 a.m. Eastern every morning. The flagship program, the Roto Experts in the Morning. Myself, the King Scott Angle, Greg Sussman, and Tony Cicada. We bring you the laughs, the entertainment, and we hope you get ready for your day in fantasy sports. And I had a special guest coming on the program right now. Somebody I definitely wanted to get down with for the debut episode. But I got to be honest with you, I need a little favor from my esteemed. Look at this. All right, I need a little favor. We're sitting up here. I'm in here in Rockin' Raleigh's right now, in the Renaissance Hotel. That's where the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 is. And there was a little bit of eye candy that just walked past the little partition here. In Midtown Manhattan, the shadows of Times Square, a stone's throw from Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. But I need my homeboys. I need somebody to bring me my charger because my computer just went dead right now. I guess I wasn't paying enough attention. But hopefully one of my good buddies down there on the fourth floor of Breaking the Fantasy Executive, his charger. So I can load up my computer. I can get some... So I can load up with my computer and get and get my computer up because I want to talk to Kimra about this phenomenal team she drafted called Le'Veon and a Prayer. That means obviously Le'Veon Bell was a part of this team. This was a special team for a few different reasons. Going into the 2015 season when Le'Veon Bell had the suspension. I was the guy that was like, yo, this is a buying opportunity for Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to buy Bell all over the place because I'm going to wait out those games. And when he gets on the field, I got Le'Veon Bell and I'm going to win the championship. That was my thought process. It didn't work. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell ended up getting hurt. So then this year, we heard the rumors, suspension might be coming for Le'Veon Bell, a drug suspension. My thing is where it smoked this fire. So I laid off Bell until I kind of got the final word on what that suspension was going to be, what could have happened in that situation with Le'Veon Bell. So I laid off Bell, didn't own him nowhere. Now, mind you, I own Bell in Dynasty Leagues. I'm a big Le'Veon Bell supporter. This one season in particular, Le'Veon Bell came through, had a great season. Matter of fact, I think it was, week 14 when he went off for like 138 fantasy points, something like that. Le'Veon Bell definitely was a guy that got the job done. He was on a lot of fantasy football championship teams in 2016. And I think it could be the same way in 2017. Like I said before, we need a clean offseason for Mr. Le'Veon Bell. I want to thank my good buddy, Frank Stanford, our producer, for bringing me my my charger for my MacBook up into the studio. That was very irresponsible of me to leave my charger down there, and I knew I had a program. And I'm sitting up here now, and I'm like, why is my computer not loading up? And that was the reason why. And I want to get to and look at this great team. So I'm just waiting for Frank to get back in position, and then we can go ahead and we'll get Kimmer up, and I can, you know, stop just, you know, chatting and running your head off right now on about my love for Mr. Le'Veon Bell. So there you go right there. But this was a smart strategy this year. If you took your time to wait on Bell, he definitely got the job done for you in 2017. I went the other way. I waited on Tom Brady. Worked out pretty good, but it didn't work out nowhere near as good as it worked out for Kimmer. I got my computer up, Kimmer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, my goodness. What a disaster with this computer just now. I'm sitting up here. I'm doing a radio show, and my computer dies on me. Kimmer, I'm so glad to be talking to you because I know we've chatted online a little bit and stuff like that. But I think it was about week 14 or so. I was away for the weekend, and I was going through, like, I was looking at the leaderboards as we got to the shootout round and stuff like that. And I was chilling at Buffalo Wild Wings, one of my favorite spots. And I'm looking at the top of the leaderboard, and I'm like, wow, my homegirl Kimbra might have a real shot at taking this down. And the young lady I was with was like, wow, a female? I was like, yeah, a female. But Kimbra's a beast. Don't sleep on her. And sure enough, here we go. Congratulations, the first female fantasy football world champion. How sweet is that?
I know, that's crazy, isn't it? First, I want to congratulate you on your show, and I have no idea how I got on your debut show, so I appreciate that, having me on today.
Of course.
You know, it's been an extraordinary experience, really, and I love Le'Veon Bell. He may end up being my favorite NFL player now. It's just crazy the way I named the team Le'Veon a Prayer, you know, based off the song Living on a Prayer, and I thought, hey, I'm going to wait on Bell, and he's provides tremendous value. I actually got him in the second round, but I was in a lot of teams. I was going running back heavy. I wanted to try to get either Elliott, which he wasn't dropping that far, or Bell. And so, hey, I was able to win over $200,000 this year on Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy. You just gave me the chills.
I actually bought his jersey not too long ago, and I'm a girl that doesn't wear football jerseys. But I got some jerseys and hang in my basement. So he definitely went up into the top five.
No doubt. I'd have bought a jersey, too. I might have bought him a pound.
Right. Well, you know, my friends and family, we went to Vegas. You're right. My friends and family, a bunch of us went to Vegas this past weekend, thanks to Ian and Scott and Amel and the FFWC. Had a great time out there. And they actually bought me a big framed Le'Veon Bell jersey, so it's really nice. It's being shipped back home, and that's definitely going up in the basement too. But you know, it was the biggest value play on the board, really, when he burst out with that. I think it wasn't 138 points. I wish it was. I think it was around 51. And it was funny, Corey, because I was actually not watching the game, and I had all these text messages coming in like, "Hey, you know, what a great week you're having." I'm like, "Oh, really?" So, you know, I tried to pull it up on my phone, and then week 15, I ended up being in first place, and I thought, oh, my, I don't know if I want to be in first place going into the last week because, you know, there was Mark Mitchell, Brad Cruz, there's all these great players behind me, and they all had LeSean McCoy, you know, so you're looking at everybody's roster trying to figure out who has all the similar players and looking at the games ahead. So it was a crazy ending. I won by .77.
Wow.
I'm sure you know by now.
Yep.
Monday Night Football. Absolutely no reason Golden Tate, my guy, the Golden Domer, should have ever been in the game. On a Monday night, they're down 3 touchdowns with under 2 minutes to go. I'm sure you were watching the game. You're diehard.
Yeah,
you
I was
watched
out
all
there.
The games.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Golden Tate lined up at the top of the screen, and Matt Stafford is throwing a screen or throwing a slant pattern to Golden Tate, and I'm just in disbelief. I'm down 0.83 at that point. He catches that one reception, and John Gruden says, why are they, taking the starters out? They need to rest them for next week. The only thing that matters right now is fantasy football. He set that up so perfectly, it was almost like it was scripted. It was unbelievable. And then I had to wait 4 days to see if there was any stat changes.
Yeah, because I wanted to get into that, because was it Anquan Boldin that had a fumble or something like that, that people were like, oh, my goodness.
No, it was Crabtree.
Oh, it was Crabtree. That's correct. Crabtree. Yeah.
I love Michael Crabtree. So I was going after, my whole goal on this team was to be different, because I'm normally, they call me the yellow sticker girl, the yellow sticker. I always like all these wide receivers on the board. But I said, I'm going to go running back heavy, because I'm going to try to get David Johnson and Bell together.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try to get, I wanted Christine Michael, and I had him until he lost the job. I had Danny Woodhead, but he got hurt early. But I was just trying to go running back heavy and then hit on these, second receivers that nobody's really talking about. Like, if you look at Michael Crabtree, he ends up outscoring Amari Cooper, I think, for the year. And then I had Michael Thomas for my beloved Saints.
Michael Thomas was phenomenal. He was amazing. He was really, I'm looking at this roster right now, how you put this draft together. He really was one of the keys to this team, because Funchess was a guy. Yeah. And listen, I understand Funchess. He didn't hit this season. You sent him back to the waiver wire. But Michael Thomas, I thought that it was, I was on the other kid in New Orleans. I can't think of his name right now.
Willie Snead.
Not Snead. The one they drafted last year. Was it Snead?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it escaped
Brandon
me.
Brandon Cooks?
Yes. No, not Cooks. I thought they had another. No, that's Houston. I'm sorry. I'm getting the Texans mixed up with the Saints. But no, I wasn't on Thomas. Mm-hmm. But everybody was like, "Yo, this is going to play out perfectly." I didn't get involved with that. But Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. I guess you saw that one coming. He was phenomenal.
Well, I'm a diehard Saints fan, so I read a lot of Saints. I'm like on their website and on different apps and reading about training camps. And now, he was a superstar in training camp. That doesn't always mean they're doing well. That's going to carry over to the regular season. But I know Drew Brees, and he's going to throw the daggone ball, and he's going to probably throw close to 5,000 yards. And if teams are going to double up on Brandon Cooks, that's going to leave Willie Snead. And I wasn't a big fan of Kobe Fleener. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he was going to be good, but he hasn't shown me the ability he could catch the ball. He wasn't doing real well with chemistry in camp. So I thought, let's just take a gamble on Michael Thomas. And I think he got slighted a little bit in the draft. He had a chip on his shoulder. I watch a lot of Big Ten football. So, coming from the Big Ten, I know the guy's legit. And so I was just trying to roll with these second-tier receivers, because you play in the FFWC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not uncommon for anybody with 11-man lineup to take five straight wide receivers.
I'm looking
off
at
the board.
Hey, Cameron, I'm looking at this board right now, this draft board right now, and I'm looking at Team 12 in the same league. Amari Cooper, Michael Evans, Michael Floyd, Jordan Matthews, Willie Snead. That was how he started his draft. And this is a typical thing in the FFWC format. But you look at your start right here. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Golden Tate, Michael Crabtree. That four-man start right there is excellent. You got Sterling Shepard, who had his ups and downs throughout the course of the season. Mm-hmm. Hit big time on Michael Thomas. But I'm looking at the rest of the team. You had some luck on the waiver wire this year. Who were some of those guys?
Cameron Brate and Dak Prescott.
Yo, Dak Prescott, the rookie of the year, my guy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And Christine Michael, I was doing really well with him until he lost his job. And then I thought I was going to have a really strong running back team, and I ended up doing that. But when I lost Christine Michael and lost Woodhead early, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go back to receivers and try to work the waiver wire. But picking up Cameron Brate, I think he ended up being the eighth tight end at the end of the season as far as the total fantasy points. So he was a good pickup. And then when Gronk went down, Martellus Bennett was up and down. So it was just a team, and it exploded at the right time. The last 3 weeks, I always tell everybody, you have to have that magical run, and I had that magical run, and I was just very blessed and fortunate to win it. And Mark Mitchell was just absolutely amazing. He finished second, and, the whole game, if you watch the Cowboys and the Lions that game, I was down 19 plus points going into that game, and they didn't really target Tate until the fourth quarter, and then I had Dallas' defense, and I decided to sit Arizona's defense because they were playing at Seattle, and I know Russell Wilson doesn't take a lot of sacks or turn the ball over, So I went ahead and played Dallas's defense on that Monday night game. But
and that kind of
worked out. He was a super.
That kind of worked out perfectly for you, Cameron. I'm getting ready. We're getting short on time. I'm getting ready to let you go. But we definitely want to have you back on the program throughout the course of the offseason and leading up to the season. But people download the app. They listen in their cars. Somebody's going to be driving to work with their daughter in the back seat, and when this interview goes off, they're going to say, Daddy, I want to play fantasy football. How cool is that?
That is cool. That is really nice.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cameron. Le'Veon in a prayer. FFWC.
That's right. Thanks, Corey, for having me on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. Appreciate the time right now. FFWC World Champion Kimra Le'Veon in the prayer was named with the football team. When we come back on the program, the Fantasy Football Frenzy, we had some coaching changes take place in the NFL like we do every year. I'm going to tell you what they mean for fantasy football right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, final segment of the program, Fantasy Football Frenzy, the debut of the Fantasy Football Frenzy right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. Consider yourself rocking with the best right now. That's how I feel about myself. I'm pretty confident, dude. When I get out of here, I'm going to go sit at the bar in a little bit up in here and rocking Raleigh's because it looks like it's going down right now. But got the last couple minutes. I do want to talk about some football, some of the NFL coaching changes and what I think they can mean for fantasy football. I want to start with San Francisco 49ers. They bring in Kyle Shanahan to be the head coach. Listen, the Shanahan offense, you know what it's about. It's about heavy play action, supports two wide receivers, getting the football down the field. You'll see better quarterback play. You'll see better play from Carlos Hyde. I don't know if they have the guns, though, to really run the Shanahan offense because the weapons on the outside are not present. This is a team you can definitely look for to be going for a running wide receiver in the NFL draft or in free agency. The Los Angeles Chargers hire Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn is a ground-and-pound guy with the New York Jets. As a matter of fact, the 3 seasons he was with the Jets, their running games averaged 137 points per game. Ground-and-pound guy. He runs a simple offense, a simple playbook. So Melvin Gordon owners, he is going to be getting a lot of touches. I do think Gordon's a first-round draft pick, that back of the first round in 2017. The Los Angeles Rams hire Sean McVay. He's going to turn the Rams passing game around, but listen, there's limited talent for him to work with on that team. So another team that you could see targeting wide receiver in the first round of the draft, or maybe they go get somebody in free agency. Tavon Austin cannot support this offense. I think you do see more passing going to Todd Gurley. He's the best player on this team. Sean McVay, very good with young quarterbacks, also very good at developing passing attacks. The Buffalo Bills hired a defensive head coach and Sean McDermott. Rick Dennison is the offensive coordinator. Rick Dennison was the OC with the Broncos in 2006 to 2008. He OC'd the Texans from 2010 to 2013. And most recently, he was the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator for a second stint. Obviously, with Dennison, what you're going to see is a improvement of the passing game. That's the way the Buffalo Bills want to go. Going to be interesting to see who their quarterback is going to be. I'm not on LeSean McCoy. I want him as an RB2. I don't know what the situation that quarterback is going to be. I think that's going to cause trouble for LeSean McCoy. Do not pay for 2016 stats in 2017 when it comes to drafting Shady. The Broncos hired Vance Joseph, a defensive head coach. The OC that they're bringing in place is Mike McCoy. High volume passing game is what you can expect. They already said they're going to have an open competition to see who the starting quarterback would be. Whoever that quarterback is, either Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch, he's more than likely to go undrafted. Make sure you come up off the waiver wire, the last pick of your draft. Take one of these players because Mike McCoy, high volume passing offense, they're going to be throwing the football a lot. He'll get some improvements on that passing game, not to mention the fact that Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders will continue to get it done in 2017. They should jump up the draft board a little bit more than they were last season because Mike McCoy is going to have those guys being targeted heavy. I'm not on the Broncos running back. I'm done with the C.J. Andersons and the Devontae Bookers and all of these guys. I really want no parts of that. I am targeting that quarterback in that situation late as a QB2, not to mention the fact I'm back on Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. The Jags hired Doug Marrone, great offensive mind. The key here is getting Blake Bortles straightened out. You get Blake Bortles straightened out, then you get your Allen Robinson back, not to mention Marquise Lee and some of the other talent they got in that passing game. Doug Marrone is brought in there to fix that passing game, to fix Blake Bortles. That's going to be his job, but Blake will still have the volume. Also look some improvements in that running game. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a back. Finally, the Falcons hire Steve Sarkisian as their offensive coordinator. He produces 1,000-yard running backs. Devonta Freeman in the first. Pretty cool for the debut of the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Thanks for rocking with me. Be back with you each and every Thursday. Plus, you catch the replays on the weekend. Fantasy Executive is out.